Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us at Bush Lake at West Tonka. And those that are online with us and here in Chanhassen, it's going to be a fun day. I think you're going to love today. This is my wish for us this day. I have one primary wish for us together, that together we will, all of us, stand in awe of God, because God is awesome. And awesome is a word that, you know, I like to reserve for God and for God alone, not for weather, not for food, not for even people, and certainly not for the NCAA basketball tournament, even though I have loved it so much. It has been so spectacular, this close to winning all the bracket. Everything in me wants to say, basketball is so, it's so very good, because awesome is a word for God. And if we use it for everything else, what do you use for God? Awesome is God. And today we're going to celebrate God and the awesome life-transforming impact that he has on people here, near, and far through the collective yes that has been ours over the last 2.5 years to participate in this initiative called Love Builds. And what an initiative it's been. It's been inspired by the words of Jesus that quickened my heart all the way back in 2018 in Acts 1:8 when he says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He wasn't speaking to the disciples just then. If you have received Jesus Christ in your life, he says to you, you have received power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and we will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. In other words, here, near, and far. It was a wake-up call for me because in the church in America, we do a really good job with here. We take care of ourselves really, really well. We dabble with near, we dabble with far, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. For Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, here, near, and far. So we just said, what would it mean to, you know, lift the bar of that whole deal and bring that intentionality? And I understand that there are some who are new here and don't even know what Love Builds is. So can I just back up the truck for a moment with you and give you some context? Can I take you back to March of 2018? That is when we first cast the vision that we call Here, Near, Far, a 10-year vision to take us to 2028. We complemented it with a 10-10-10 strategy, a strategy that would do three primary things, that it would allow us to, with greater intentionality, meet felt needs, and in so doing, do gospel sharing at an intentional level that we have never done in the history of Westwood before, and then engage in church planting in an intentional way like we've never done before. And so we stepped into that process of Here, Near, Far, and I'm so glad that we did. And I'm so glad for the inspiration that comes from Jesus' words. But that was in 2018. And in 2018, when I first cast that vision, can I just tell you there was an enthusiastic engagement of our church. And it felt like it was non-stoppable momentum until a global pandemic hit. And the world was rocked. It just seems like everything got shut down. And we were in this given place of how do we navigate through this given journey? And it seems to me what happened during that window is that our eyes got fixed on other things. More so than what God wanted for us, the reality of personal safety, rightfully so. It was a pandemic. We needed to be concerned. We had never walked through, endured something like that before. But as well, it seemed like our eyes got fixed on political opinions that continued to create agitation and divided us, not united us. And what was our church's response? Our church's response was Love Built. Our church's response was to say, let's come back together. And let's fix our eyes on the kingdom of God, because Jesus himself, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. Let's get our eyes fixed back on the kingdom of God and on our King, whose name is Jesus Christ, and let's do his bidding of bringing love into a broken world here, near, and far. So we gave this really bold invitation. In a time where there was brokenness and fragmentation and separation all around us. And we just said, let's come back together in this arena and say yes to this invitation. And the goal of it was to let's move into a place where we could come together, strengthen the foundation and base of our church, and accelerate, get back where we had been derailed, get back onto the mission, a 10-year vision that God had given us for here, near, and far. And so that's what Love Builds is about. And so today I have one primary wish for you, that you would stand in awe of what God has done in just a little over 2 years by your declarative yes, count me in praying and in serving and giving generously to this thing called Love Builds. It comes from Corinthians, where Paul says, pride tears down, love builds up, let's be a building up kind of congregation. Let's get back on track. And we did. So be amazed today. It's a unique day. Stand in awe of the stories that you're going to hear today. And you're going to get just a glimpse as we give an update of what's happened in the last 2.5 years. I've been standing in awe all this week. But I will tell you, the challenge of doing this in a short window of time, which I know you have things to do. Some of you are thinking about your lunch already. And I just want to say, stop it. That'll come. And when you have the impulse to leave at the end of the service, would you just stay for a moment? Because we're going to stand in awe. I'm going to share a few extra things at the end of the service. Don't rush out. Be together, okay? So this is how we're putting it together today. There are a number of stories you're going to hear. I've asked Pastor Clint if he could just give us a summation on two fronts. One, to give us a progress report on where we are in the specific goal related to here, near, and far. And then to give us a 10,000-foot view of the many things that have happened in just 2 years. I mean, you will stand in awe. We didn't get into the fetal position. We say, we have a purpose and a mission. Let's step up and in. It's so exciting what God is doing, and you're part of it. And we're going to celebrate God. Let's stand in awe of God today. And it begins with our here ministry and with Clint.
Hey, friends. How many know that God is the first giver? And because He gives, we give. And your generosity through Love Builds is making an incredible impact. When our Here, Near, Far vision was launched in 2018, we believed that with God's help, we would see a multiplication move right here in our communities. And we set a bold goal to launch 10 multi-sites, micro-sites, and church plants by 2028. And we are well on our way. We've seen 7 new expressions of here multiplication, including Garden City Church, a brand new church plant that we are helping launch this year. And we've also been mobilizing evangelism, spearheaded by our very own Matt Moeller, who is training our church in sharing the gospel and leading outreach efforts in local prisons. But Love Builds wasn't just about multiplication. It was also about strengthening our foundation so we can keep reaching more people. And because of your generosity, we've accelerated debt retirement, paying down over $1 million to free up more resources for ministry. We've improved our parking lot at Chanhassen, secured a new home for our Westonka campus at the Gillespie Center, and our plans are underway to expand the Hope House, providing greater support for youth in need. And one more exciting area of impact has been our investment in the next generation, especially in the area of mental health. This is an issue affecting so many, and we want to be the church that supports, encourages, and provides real help. But rather than just hearing it from me, I want you to hear firsthand from those on the front lines of reaching the next generation. So get ready to be again with Pastor Joel, who is sitting down with Ben Pierce from Steiger Ministries and one of our very own Westwood students to share their story about the impact of Love Builds.
Wow. In just that little brief clip, you heard a dozen things that have happened over the last 2 years. I wish we could put a spotlight on each. I'm going to give a story for each here, near, and far. And today we're going to focus on the here side with mental health, because Jesus met felt needs on the way to meet spiritual needs. And so we want to be a church. It opens up the door to the gospel when you meet felt needs. And mental health was an issue in the first century. It's an issue for us today. So I invited 2 guests to be with me, Ben Pierce, working with Steiger, Elizabeth Goodyear, a senior here at Minnetonka High School. Yes, The students are with us this hour, cheering her on along the way. We'll hear from both of them. I'll start with Ben. And he's familiar to our church family, has been here before, but he came and did a special mental health focus when we were in the series over the last couple of years. It was absolutely extraordinary. But I asked if he could just come and give a little more of an update. Before he does, he serves with Steiger Ministry, and we have been long partners, even before the mental health series that we were a part of. And I think just take a moment, give some context, Steiger Ministries, who is it? Why does it exist?
Good morning. Steiger is a very unique ministry that my parents started in the 80s in Amsterdam. They're both originally from Minnesota, but they didn't meet here. They had to go all the way to Amsterdam to meet. They started with YWAM, this ministry that is a heart to reach people outside of the church, and they went to this dark city with that exact heart. How do we reach a people, especially a youth culture, that sees God as this irrelevant tradition of the past? And so they prayed and they sought God and eventually started this Bible study in the heart of the city and a band called No Longer Music. And God poured his power on this ministry. These young people were coming, even though they were cynical and they had these negative views of Jesus, they were encountering the real Jesus and they were giving their lives to him and being transformed by his power. And eventually God started putting his favor on this ministry and it started to expand beyond Amsterdam, throughout all of Europe, and eventually all over the world. And now we are active in over 200 cities around the world with this exact passion to reach a generation that sees God and is skeptical, but is ultimately open to the truth. And so we are going to them, lifting up the name of Jesus, and God is doing extraordinary things, and you guys are a part of that.
Yeah. Ben was born in Amsterdam, lived there for 10 years, has traveled the world over. You've seen so many trends. It's one of the reasons I wanted you to come today. And I think about that in America, especially this issue of mental health has been a difficult one for us to get our head around. And coming out of what I call the CPR season, COVID, politics, and race, there was a lot of mental health challenges we were dealing with as there were disruptions in our home life, our school life, our work life, our neighborhood life, and I mean, just our church life. Everything got so disrupted. We had mental health challenges everywhere we were dealing with in the flow of that. And quite honestly, the church historically, we've just not done very well addressing this subject. There's almost a sense in which we've been silent most of the time. And when we've spoken, we've confused people in terms of a good way to go in dealing with mental health. We've sent a message, sometimes verbally stated, that if you're a Christ follower, then you ought not have mental health challenges. You just need to go to God. Don't go to a counselor. We've said things like that. You need to just pray rightly instead of wrongly. You just need to confess your sin because that's probably the core of what your issue is. And it's just created guilt and shame on so many fronts. In fact, it's called the casserole illness in the world of sociology. That is, the church does a beautiful job caring for and bringing casseroles to people with every kind of need but mental health. We aren't sure how to respond, so no casserole for you. It's kind of how it's gone. We go, no, that's not going to be the case. We are going to be a church that will pay attention to the mental health journey. In your journey, you have, in your travel, seen so much, Ben. And so why are we in this place from your perspective, what you've seen globally and here in America?
Yeah, I think ultimately it's a worldview problem. You know, for the majority of American history and the history of the West, we had a Judeo-Christian worldview. And this gave us tremendous foundations for the things that I think are core to mental health, like who am I? What is the purpose of my life? What is true? You know, what gives me hope in the midst of suffering? And so we were able to draw on these things, even if we didn't passionately follow Jesus, we were able to draw on these worldviews. But now there has been a shift. Now the dominant worldview outside of the church is secular humanism. And secular humanism, it says, no, I'm God. I define reality. I decide what's true. I decide what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go. And though this sounds liberating, the truth is the consequences of this worldview are devastating. Because, of course, as far as identity is concerned, you can't just make it up, right? We've traded this beautiful transcendent basis for who we are, sons and daughters of God. And since we can't make it up ourselves, we've just traded that for the fickle opinions of our friends on social media. Right? Or worse, we're crushed under the weight of the meritocracy, which says, I am what I do. Right? We got to hustle. We got to work. We got to achieve. This will define my identity. And of course, we are so utterly confused. Of course, we have a crisis of meaning because We don't have this transcendent basis of meaning in God. All we have is the material. But like Solomon warned us, nothing under the sun brings lasting satisfaction. Right? He said, I've chased all things. I've seen all things. All of it is utterly meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And then, of course, we have no idea what's true. We used to be able to ground objective truth in God, the arbitrator between human opinion. But now I get to decide. It's the era of my truth, right? This illogical nonsense. And it's left us with this weird dichotomy where we're so passionate about justice and yet have no idea what's true. And then most probably devastating is that we don't know where we belong, right? God is the ontological basis for a community. He in of himself is community. And he gives us that transcendent base. No longer is it just this animalistic thing, right? I need you for what you can give me and vice versa. But no, the basis of true community is self-sacrifice and empathy and self-denial. But in the absence of God, we don't have that. So we just take from each other and take from each other. We become more and more individualistic, and so we are utterly alone. Loneliness is one of the most devastating epidemics in our culture today. And so in light of not knowing who we are, in light of not knowing what we're supposed to do or what's true or where we belong, is it any surprise at all that we have a mental health crisis today?
Yeah, well, Ben, when I called Ben and said, could you come? Yeah, I said, I apologize because I said, you got 5 minutes. You know, and he's a guy, he did a whole seminar here during our series. We did a series called Longing for Better Days over the Love Builds. We used some of those resources to pay attention to this. By the way, that is a six-week series, was launched in October of 2023. It's archived if you want to tune into it. It's one of the most viewed series we've ever done in our 30-year history. And you were part of that whole journey with the Saturday seminar you did, but I do apologize, you only get 5 minutes, but you're getting a main storyline today on each of it. But just briefly, where do we go with this?
Yeah, well, we need to destigmatize it, right? This is a real thing. It's complex. It's not simple, and it's something that we have to take very seriously. But for me, I think there's this weird reciprocal excitement, because while it's devastating, I think that because we're so confused, because we have these felt needs around meaning and identity, these are unique opportunities for followers of Jesus with real answers to these questions. The world, it's just groping around in the dark. It doesn't know, but we do know who we are. We do know why we're here. We do have resilience in the face of suffering. And so I think now more than ever, followers of Jesus need to step into that space with the love of Jesus and the answers that I think people are desperate for.
Yeah, looking for our identity, which, by the way, we will continue to give energy and attention. And this August, we're planning on a special mental health focus in anticipation for kids and students going into the new school year. So you'll hear more about that to come. But we have a student from Westwood with us, Elizabeth. Thank you for being here. Elizabeth just arrived from Europe at 6:30 p.m. last night, and she's doing really good. Thank you for being here.
I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was surprised you said yes to be part of it, but I was grateful that you did. And Elizabeth is a graduating senior this year with great plans for the future, but she hit her own mental health challenge just a year ago. But before you jump into that, how long have you been at Westwood? Because you have this reputation as being a servant. Who do you serve?
So my family's been at Westwood since I was in fifth grade. And ever since seventh grade, I've been helping out with the kids ministry on Sundays. And then once I got old enough, I started helping out with MSM, both Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And that has just been really transformative in my faith journey.
Good. You hit a snag a year ago, a little lower than that. And what was it that caused some depression and anxiety that really created a spiral in your life?
So my junior year of high school, around October, I was playing soccer. And I like tripped and fell. I wasn't even doing anything cool. I tripped and fell and hurt my knee. And I had to get what my doctor called a monster surgery. And basically I had torn my ACL and then both menisci on either side of my leg. So that was in October. And then in December I had this really big surgery and was on crutches for 6 weeks. And even in the months following that, like, I was unable to fully extend my leg and just like move around at all. And I had to do a lot of PT to sort of get that fixed. And so during that time I was feeling really sort of helpless, one, because I physically couldn't walk, and also just because I had this sort of like absence in my life. Soccer had been like my routine. I would come home from school and just go right to soccer practice, and now I had this sort of like, I would come home from school and just sit on the couch, and I wasn't doing anything with that time. So I began to feel this sort of like helplessness and also this anxiety that I would hurt my knee again. And really during this time, I was trying to sort of deal with it on my own individually. But then one time when we were on a family vacation, I tripped over the sidewalk, which was really embarrassing. But it really just brought out this like fear that it would happen again. And I was fine. I just like tripped. Everybody does it. But it was just like, that's when I had like a full panic attack in public in front of my family. And that's when really just sort of like the mental health struggles started to increase. And over that past year, I was having a lot of like anxiety symptoms and depressive symptoms. And really I was just feeling stuck emotionally and physically. But that's when Westwood really came in and helped out because I was able to continue serving with students. And that really allowed me to sort of stop focusing on the hole that soccer had left in my life and start focusing on God again. And I started learning like, I may have mental health struggles, but I can do more serving other people. And instead of focusing on myself, I can build up the students and the youth because they are the church right now, and also start focusing more on God.
Yeah, thank you. For Elizabeth, I realize her battle was almost a year long, and yet that battle kind of, she broke out of it through serving. I think it was the favorite thing that you said to me, that when you serve the purposes of the Lord and you're struggling with monkeys in your head, it brings a healing. It is a helpful gesture. So thanks for sharing. You're graduating. You're going on to Bethel University. And what is your graduate degree going to be on?
I'm planning on majoring in biblical studies because I want to be a youth pastor in the future. So.
So our eyes are on Elizabeth. So friends, would you join me in thanking Ben and Elizabeth for sharing today? So grateful. And you guys, terrific. Thank you for being with us today. This is Love Builds In Here, now Love Builds In Near. What's it all about, Clint?
Now, when we talk about near, we're talking about our own backyard, the Twin Cities. And our city is changing. The nations are literally moving into our neighborhoods with over 100 different people groups represented right where we live. What an opportunity to be the church in this moment. And through our Here Near Far vision, we're committed to partnering with and planting 100 churches to reach our growing and diverse community. And we are well on our way. 48 churches have already launched and the pipeline is growing. Now, one of the key ways we're making this happen is through our partnership with LINC, a national nonprofit focused on equipping and developing leaders to plant and grow churches and businesses in their communities. Through Love Builds, we've worked with LINC to develop a new accelerator and incubator program for emerging leaders. And through another key partnership with Merge, a citywide evangelism event coming up this June at the Minnesota State Capitol, we are sharing the gospel with immigrant populations and seeing lives transformed. Then there's the Hub at our Bush Lake campus, a gathering place that has become a beachhead for good, for development, and for gospel multiplication. It's the home to our Bush Lake campus, three other churches led by diverse leaders in the Twin Cities, and it's a key space supporting our commitment to racial healing right in our backyards. A life-changing movement of God is underway in our city. And by God's grace, we're not just part of it, we're helping lead the way.
The near ministry of Here Near Far is grabbed my heart. Westwood is a trailblazing church in this initiative. It faces opposition and huge opportunity. This is Ebenezer, pastor of Perizim Church. In a moment, I'm going to bring you into this, but just some perspective on the big picture of what's happening in Minneapolis-St. Paul, because you've heard of the documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis. But you know, I have a vision, we have a vision for the rise of Minneapolis through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That documentary should be made and we should help script that story. Because what's happening here is unusual. The spotlight is on Minneapolis-St. Paul around the world. I just got back from Saudi Arabia. Everybody knew who George Floyd was there. I couldn't believe it. And it's a reality. We are known around the world. And I think where that kind of backdrop of darkness is, light is about to break forth. And so we find there are 196 nations in the world today, approximately 162 of them are here in the Twin Cities, represented here. That the growth in the Twin Cities in the last 20 years is astonishing. 82% of our growth has come from immigrants and refugees. That's astonishing for us, which means they're bringing their cultures with them, their religions with them, et cetera. This is a very spiritual place. It's an epicenter of spirituality in the United States of America today. I think God is at work if we as a church are willing to link arms to be part of what he wants to do. Part of that motion is linking with other partners like Ebenezer over at Perizim. You've been here before. And for those who might be new, you started Perizim Church with a great vision and boy, faced a lot of obstacles doing that. And now you're experiencing great growth. But what is the purpose and mission of the church?
Yeah, great question. Well, good morning, everybody. How you guys doing? Awesome. Y'all awake in the service. Perizim Church, our heart and our vision is to connect people to the family of God, cultivate disciples who go on to contribute in kingdom work. And that's what we're about. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, you have, through your travels, Ebenezer has grown, by the way, from the first time I met him and where you were and what God has done in your life. Let me just say favor and blessing is upon him. He has a podcast. The name of your podcast is?
Shaping the Culture.
Shaping the Culture. You might want to tune into it. He's gone global, national. Talk about a spotlight. I just pray that your humility stays intact because he's got a world stage with his podcast right now. And because of that, you've been able to be exposed to a lot of things happening around the world in our own country. And I was inspired by what you said about revival breaking out in our own country. What's that all about?
Yeah, it really does seem like God is calling a people to himself. Yeah. And it's really cool. There's a lot of stats around millennials and Gen Z, but that's not what I see. I see young people passionate about the Lord. In fact, last year, I don't know if you guys heard, Ohio State University had their football team lead a rally. You guys know what I'm talking about. All they did was share their testimony and hundreds came up to 1,000, and then hundreds got baptized. And that movement got on social media, and then it went viral, and it inspired so many people. You guys remember the song Oceans by Hillsong? So I don't know if you had that song came back. It's in style again, and it's all over TikTok. And what's crazy is people who aren't even Christians are using the song Oceans. You got people like Joe Rogan, who has the biggest podcast in the world, bringing on somebody like Wes Huff to talk textual criticism, just crazy to think about. Yeah. Jordan Peterson, I think he's a believer now. I don't know. We've been trying to figure it out the last 2-3 years. It's like, are you in or are you out? What is it? But you just see just everywhere people are talking about Jesus and people can't get enough of him. And that's something that I've seen in my life too.
Just being reminded, it seems like people are opposed to God. And certainly there's a segment of that. But there's a receptivity to the gospel as we meet felt needs and we share the gospel. Churches are born. People come to salvation, and you're experiencing some extraordinary growth at Perizim right now. Just give an update to the church family.
Yeah. So we, in the last 4 or 5 months, have doubled in size. Mm-hmm. And God is faithful. God did that. And, we outgrew the hub space, and we needed to get out of there as soon as possible so we were complying to all the rules. But yeah. We are today, starting today, going to be in the worship center at Bush Lake. And so, God is... Yeah. Been really kind.
For people, we have three fellowships we partner together with.
Yes.
We have Perizim Church, and then we have an East Indian Church, Hispanic Church, Destino, that are there as well, and others that are serving. So we use that space for the work of the Lord in the greater Twin Cities. So what attributes the growth to your setting?
Truth be told, we don't know. I'm just going to...
Just always say Jesus. Then.
Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, right? I know we've utilized TikTok, and TikTok has helped a lot. I know young people, I still think I'm young, even though I'm 33. But we use TikTok like a search engine. And we've heard a lot of people come in and say, hey, I went on TikTok, and I typed in churches in the Twin Cities, and your church popped up. And we came to check you guys out as a result. Yeah. But other than that, we've been preaching through the book of Mark for over a year now, and we haven't changed anything. We've been preaching the same. We've done worship the same. Our community is the same. Our culture is the same. But God is just breathing on it. And I think we're experiencing growth because of what's taken place nationally and here in the Yeah. Twin Cities.
I have been so blessed by our partnership together. Now it's been some years. I think you've taught me so much about the humility of heart, the opportunity to link arms and hear points of view different than my own and respect it and learn and grow because of what's happening in the Twin Cities. We get the opportunity to pass the baton of ministry to a new generation of leaders. There will be no majority people group in the Twin Cities by 2034. Which means we will pass a baton to new leaders offering in leadership in new ways, and you're one of them. I just, on behalf of Westwood, I love you. I'm so grateful for the way you teach, your heart for the gospel, for the Church of Christ. You have a high view of the church, and you get last word before you have to leave. So, last word, just the privilege of being together in partnership. I've enjoyed you so much. Thank you.
I really enjoyed you too. One of my favorite quotes, I heard somebody once say that the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships. Mm-hmm. And we have experienced the goodness and faithfulness of God due to this partnership. When we met, it was March of 2021. It's 4 years now, which is incredible to think about. But at that time, I was discouraged. We felt lonely, hopeless. We were on YouTube looking for, we were on YouTube for 14 months having church. Wow. And trying to figure out how we're going to come back. We had a lot of young people and, you know, young people, we don't got money. So like, how are we going to afford rent and all that? And you guys came alongside of us. And not only did you provide a space, but you provided friendship, wisdom, encouragement, love, support. You saw something in us that, truth be told, I don't know if we saw in ourselves at that time. And so for you guys, I think about Hebrews. Hebrews is a phenomenal book. The church of Hebrews is struggling. They're thinking about throwing in the towel, walking away from the faith. And the author tells them to encourage one another daily. As long as it is called today, let us encourage one another. I always say to our community, encouragement is supernatural. You have no idea what your encouragement can do. And your encouragement, Westwood's encouragement, has had eternal ramifications on Perizim Church. So we are so grateful for y'all.
It's our honor. Thank you. Appreciate it, Ebenezer. Thank you. I got goosebumps right now. Stand in awe. Of what God is doing. We transitioned to FAR. I'll just state the FAR ministry is that we would, by faith, through partnership with others, be available to help plant 1,000 churches, we stated in 2018, around the world. We had a guest, his name is David Nelms, head of TTI, the Timothy Initiative, with whom we partner with today on church planting around the world. And in front of all of you, before he spoke to me, he said, I really think your 1,000 needs another zero and should be 10,000. I always think generally you should talk to the leader of the church before you say that to the people of the church. But he invaded my comfort zone, but I'm telling you, he was right. And what's happening today is historic in the far side of the world. And I've been able to travel to see the advance of the gospel in church planting. It's extraordinary what's taking place. It's historic, and partly because in the last 10 years especially, the mission organizations, the church planting organizations, the Bible translation organizations are doing something they've never done in history. They are sitting around the same table, sharing resources, raising dollars together, sharing techniques to bring it together because we're better together when we're in it together. That's not such a novel idea, right? You'd think that would be there. 2,000 years we've waited. It's happening right now so that within our lifetime, it's possible to see the return of Jesus Christ because of the accomplishment of every people group having access to the gospel of Christ. And so we're part of that. One of our focal points is in Togo, West Africa. They're using a strategy, these different church planting organizations. They call themselves Achieve Alliance. Achieve is an acronym, a church in every village, everywhere. And I just attended the very first Achieve Alliance conference. And man, I could hardly stay in my seat. It lit me up so much to see what God is doing. This strategy is so simple. Part of it is defining reality, because that's what leaders do. You have to define reality so you know where to go. We keep putting resources into places that are already reached because we don't know truly who are the unreached. So the strategy is a simple mapping strategy that gives a red, yellow, green indicator of a village or a town or a city. So if it's red, it's no Christians, no churches. If it's yellow, it's Christians, no churches. If it's Green, it's Christians with churches. And now they're using their resources to reach the least reached people of the world. And so when the foot soldiers from all these organizations went from village to village, town to town, city to city, one of the things they learned in Togo is they identified 4,000 villages that the government of a Togo didn't even know existed because they were walking the land. They've been identified and they are currently being reached. And we're part of that amazing journey. This is Achieve Alliance and a summary of their mission and vision that we are partners with Achieve Alliance.
What if this could be the generation that sees the Great Commission fulfilled? Imagine a world where every people and place has a thriving church and the hope of the gospel reaches the ends of the earth. This is the heart of the Achieve Alliance. God has brought together church planting ministries to work not in competition, but in collaboration. Achieve, a church in every village, everywhere, is our passionate, unwavering aim. From remote islands to bustling cities, our mission is clear: to ensure that no person, no place is left untouched by the power of the gospel. Through collaborative, coordinated efforts, generosity, and cutting-edge technology, the Achieve Alliance is charting a new course to reach the unreached. To bring the Great Commission to completion, we must understand the landscape. How many villages are there? Where are the gaps? Where are the churches? And where is there no gospel presence? The Achieve Alliance is mapping every inhabited place on earth to identify where the harvest is ripe and where the gospel has yet to reach. No single ministry can do this alone, but together we can close the gaps. The early fruits have been nothing short of extraordinary. Through coordinated efforts, we have mapped the majority of villages in Nepal and Sri Lanka. Coalitions are being formed in dozens of nations, including Togo, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Ethiopia, and Benin, to plant a church in every village. Nations are rallying together because they believe the achieved vision is possible.
So David Nelms of TTI, the Timothy Initiative, was with us in 2018. He's the one who said, add a zero to the thousand, to let it be 10,000, and invaded my comfort zone and our comfort zone, but we said, yeah, let's make ourselves available. So the last few weeks, our team has been engaging with each of our partners to find out where we are against the 10,000. I just learned the number just a few days ago, and I haven't even said anything. I got goosebumps right now. We're at 7,849. Isn't that extraordinary? Friends, stand in awe of God. We've come to celebrate God today. And what Love Builds was what we had hoped it to do, it's doing. And what God intended to do, it's doing. It's brought us back together as a church, with our eyes fixed on the kingdom of God and the King who is Jesus Christ. That's our call. That's who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ. And in the flow of that, we have seen that our home base has been strengthened. We have seen that churches have been planted. Gospel is being shared everywhere, here, near, and far. People's lives, they're being helped. It's extraordinary, the kind of help that's coming through the gospel of Christ and through our service together. And we're finding that, yeah, the churches are planted and God is being honored. And there's nothing better in your life than to honor God. Put a smile on the face of God and he'll put a smile in your heart. That's how it works. And so thank you for trusting us to move forward and engaging at a fragmented, disrupted time as we've come together. God's blessing your generosity. And I want to encourage you to keep the momentum going. It's 2025. We're on our way to 2028. There's so much more still to do. And your engagement matters. You're praying, you're serving, you're going, you're giving. And so we encourage you to engage in those different arenas. We have two different ministry funds that accelerate our Here Near Far vision. One through the general giving that you just give through the general budget, a piece of that goes to it. And then we're keeping the Love Builds, which we opened up just a little over 2 years ago. We're gonna keep that open and ongoing through the year. Many of you made your pledges at different times, so you're gonna fulfill them at different times. I just encourage you, fulfill your pledge. And if you have not yet participated financially, you're investing into eternity. And we will see people in heaven whom we will meet because of that investment. So consider, pray, engage even today. Make your first gift to the cause of Christ and this beautiful journey that we're apart. There's nothing better than that. My father-in-law, Gordon, Carrie's dad, is 98 years old, just moved from the farm into assisted living in Edina. He's doing really, really well. I had a recent conversation with him, and I said, Gordon, if you're not dead, you're not done. It's the encouragement of a son-in-law to a father. And he took it all in because he's a man of purpose. And if you could go visit him, you would be so lit up and inspired. He is so purposeful about his life. He has a ministry of encouragement, a ministry of prayer, a ministry of evangelism right where he is. Oh, he's serving the Lord well. I stand in awe of faithful servants who take their life all the way to that given journey, and we get to do the same. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand here, and we're going to pray and stand in awe of God. And then we're going to come out and sing How Great Thou Art. And I know, as I said earlier, some of you have an impulse to leave early. Can I encourage you, don't do that. Would you stay with us and stand in awe with God and let his presence just hover over you? Would you stand and open your hands, as is our custom at Western, with open hands receiving, with open hands giving away, and say, oh Lord, thank you for the gift of life that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for a prayer of Habakkuk so long ago that would say, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day. Let them be part of the testimony, new stories. And Lord, we are part of it today. We are part of the new stories. We know of your power and your presence, and we want to experience that together in our time, in our lifetime, to know that we're part of something eternal, that our life is not done. It goes on, and in a moment, we'll come to this table, and we'll say thank you, but first, we want to lift our hearts and our minds and our voices in song and sing how great you are, because indeed, we stand in awe. To your glory and honor and praise, we sing.